the judgments of God. First of all, let me explain judgment. Judgment as a representation that it is an act of reward or misfortune, because you can have a judgment of a reward. If you ever go to court, somebody can get judged, and the judgment would be a reward of something. So a judgment is an act of a reward or a misfortune in response to the what we would call the separation or the discernment of an individual's deed. In other words, what we would do is separate the individual's deed. And that would be based upon whether it was good or evil, or righteous or unrighteous. Amen? Does everybody get that? I better explain it again. Judgment is the act of reward or misfortune in the response of the discernment. In other words, you're discerning, which is of an individual's deed. You're discerning someone's deed. And it's based upon good or evil, or righteous and unrighteous, one or the other. Amen? So there's judgment, or there's what we might say sentence put upon. And a judgment is a representation of a sentence. And you're either rewarded or you are punished. Amen? In Ecclesiastes 12, please. In Ecclesiastes 12. Thank you, Lord. Illuminate your word. Hallelujah. And bring us to that place of divine position. Kill us quickly. Hallelujah. You ever realize, when you thought you were dead in one place, you realize you were alive much more? Hallelujah. Isn't it a wonderful thing? In Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So know this, that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, people everywhere across the whole world is going to be judged. Everyone will come before God Almighty and be judged one day. Everyone. There are people who will come and worship him, because in his presence you can't help but worship him. And as they worship him, they're going to know his fullness of his presence and his glory, and they're going to love it. And that's going to be the torment, because afterwards, some he will say, depart from me, I don't know you. And they will be departed, and they will be cast away into outer darkness and lake of fire. And Psalm 19. Hallelujah. In Psalm 19. So everything will be judged. Psalm 19 and verse 7 will start. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a what? Great reward. So we see here that judgments also represent a reward. And the Lord tells us how to maintain in the right standings of God, to maintain rewards. And, one of the things is if you break covenant with God, obviously you lose promises, don't you? It's like breaking a contract. Anyone who breaks covenant, and there's things that stipulate what broken covenant is, and it tells us in Galatians 5:19, those who practice such things. That's a representation of broken covenant. So you can be a believer, and you can still go out there, and if you decide to fornicate or whatever it is, you're going to break covenant with God, because that's known as sin unto death. If you die, then you go to hell. Amen? So that's why we must maintain a relationship with the Lord in the Spirit. So it says the law or the words or the ways convert or guide us in the right way so that there is great reward. That's why the Bible is there. You know how many people are walking around not believing the Bible? And the Bible tells us those who are blinded of these things, who do not believe in the gospel, are deceived by Satan, and they are headed toward perishing. Because he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you can say, well, I believe in the Lord, but not walk according to the ways. And there's a difference. Because if you truly believe, you'll follow. And it's everybody that's on this planet, it's their responsibility to know the truth and to follow it. Everyone. It's their responsibility to know the truth and follow it. And the Word of God is true. Amen? Let's go to Psalms 9 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Let's read this together. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever, and he has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for in the people. In what? Uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who what? Seek you. He doesn't forsake those who seek him, does he? Right. So that means if you don't seek him, what happens? Amen. Hallelujah. So we see his judgments are true and righteous, aren't they? Now, let's go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, in verse 1 through 5. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Now who are they talking about? Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to come and judge, isn't he? Everything has been granted to him to judge. Now we understand something that there is past, present, and future judgment. There is past judgment, there is present judgment, and there's future judgment. In other words, when we are out there sinning, right, we are actually what we would call past judgment right now is a representation of sowing and reaping. But in the Old Testament, judgment was given immediately. Somebody cursed God, they died. They were stoned to death. You know, judgment was given quickly. God, even Moses' sister who came against Moses, the Lord put leprosy on her. You know, so people died by not doing, I mean, judgment was, but now you and I are in grace. This is called the age of grace, and it's a representation of God holding back his judgment and calling forth all the unrighteous to righteousness and so forth. So we see that the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, and in verse 14, that Jesus was the Word who became flesh. And he came with the fullness of grace and truth. So he brought the grace and the truth so people wouldn't go astray. And he also brought the power of the Holy Spirit so people could maintain the power of God. Amen? So we see here that there is, actually, if we really look at things, there's a past judgment, a present judgment, and a future judgment. Now, I just want to share a couple of these things before we go to the major judgments of what's going on. In Galatians 6, Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, and verse 7, Galatians 6, verse 7, and let's read this together. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he also, he'll reap. So whatever he sows, he's going to reap, isn't he? Now let's go a little further. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So he who is sowing to his flesh is reaping corruption. So when you and I were living under the powers of darkness, under the world, not under the anointing of Christ, under the blood, we were sowing to our flesh. That means we were always reaping corruption. It was always difficult trying to get out of things. Then when we came to the Lord set us free. When we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he began to work on our behalf. When we got filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit, things began to happen. But it didn't mean that, in other words, we were still going to reap, weren't we? We were reaping with Jesus now. You know, because it's that old saying, if somebody commits adultery and they repent, praise God. Well, the woman gets pregnant, right? And the man has to either support or something happens or they, you know, whatever. And the woman has a child. So knowing that even though you're sowing, you're going to reap no matter what. But I'd rather reap with Jesus than without him. Amen? But he's going to make a way, isn't he? He's going to make a way and assist you in this reaping. In fact, he utilizes that reaping to train us. That's why sometimes it's so hard to break away from certain things because we're still reaping what we've sowed so much until the Lord brings us into a place where we begin to sow in the Spirit more to outrun the reaping that we have sowed. Amen? Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, doesn't it? You know, it's like somebody grab a hold of your ankle still. But, you know, as you continue to sow in the Spirit, you're going to outrun that reaping. And you're going to find things are going to begin to happen. Amen? So and that's a spiritual law of a sowing and reaping. That's God's spiritual law. It's the basis of everything, sowing and reaping. No matter what you sow, you're going to reap. You sow garbage, you're going to reap it. You know, that's the things you speak, things you think. That's why we must repent every single day, right? Hallelujah. In Acts 17. So we can see that this reaping is a representation of judgment, isn't it? It's our own judgment. In Acts 17, in verse 30. Is everybody there? Now, this is a story about Paul and Silas, who were put in the prison and they were praising and worshiping all night. And the Lord brought an earthquake and the gates opened up and the guard there ran out. Well, he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do it. Because they didn't leave, because they were prisoners there. And the guard said, well, man, you know, I'm going to die anyways. What do I do to be saved? So he come running out in verse 31 and he said, verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now the guard was freaked out, wasn't he? And verse 30, he says, man, what do I do to be saved? Yeah. I'm sorry, that's chapter 16. Sorry. Chapter 16, verse 30. Hallelujah. I'm glad somebody's awake here. Praise God. Let's try this again. In verse 30, chapter 16. And he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So we see here that he was calling on the name. He said, listen, call on the name of the Lord. Believe on the name of Jesus to be saved. And there was a difference in, of course, we already went through this, saved and born again. But that's all we need to do is call on the name of Jesus. Of course, you just can't say, oh, Lord. Well, we have to repent, don't we? The only way to enter the kingdom of God is to repent first. Lord, forgive me. And we'll go into that a little bit. So understand that because the world is already condemned or already judged because of what's going on. In fact, Jesus said that Satan has already been judged, right? So because we were born in sin, we are already judged, aren't we? So we are judged already, except for we know that there's an age of accountability, and the Lord knows the age of accountability, and that depends on an individual. That's why children go home to heaven, don't they? But there is a point of age of accountability where you and I are accountable to receive the Lord as Savior, or we don't go home. So let's go to John 3. John chapter 3, famous verse. John 3. In verse 16, and let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go on. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the first coming of the Lord was not for the Lord to judge the world. It was for him to save the world. But his next time that he touches this earth, it's to judge the world. Go to verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we see that in his name, people can get saved, right? If you believe in his name. Let's go to John 5. So remember, the Lord did not come the first time to judge, he came to save. But the next time he does come to the earth and touches it, he's going to judge. In John chapter 5, in verse 24. Let's read it. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So what is the word believe again? Follow. The word believe means, represents follow. And it says, and he who believes or hears my word, and his word is a written word, right? And follows will pass from death to life. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. So we see that Jesus bore our sins for our past, didn't he? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. You know, people take communion sometimes without repentance to the Lord, or taking the time and saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins and so forth. They just take communion. But let a man examine himself, in verse 28, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, people need to take communion a little bit more serious. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many what? Which means die. You know how many people take communion and are bitter towards somebody and have unforgiveness? Judgment comes upon them. Amen. I see people sick for years and still taking communion. You know what? They won't forgive certain people because they believe that they have a right not to forgive them. And they die. Who wants to go home early? We got work to do. And verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are what? Chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So what happens is, as a believer, we get chastened by the Lord so we stay in tune with him and walk right with him so that we don't fall and break covenant and be judged according to the ways the world's going to be judged. Amen? Okay. Chastening is a representation of a hand slap or a correction to prevent from eternal judgment. Of course, again, if you unless it's broken covenant. If you break covenant, you're on your way. And, of course, you can still come to repentance also, can't you? Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14. So we can bring judgment upon ourselves, can't we? So we see that there is a past and there is a present judgment. And the present judgment is what we do right now. Representation of sowing and reaping. If we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. That's why it's important that we keep an eye on ourselves, right? Romans 14 and verse 8. Let's read this together. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all what?
Stand.
Before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone will stand. Let's go on. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So everyone is going to give an account to the Lord of what they have done. When you get before the Lord, he's going to say, what did you do with the life I gave you?
Yes.
Amen. And 2 Corinthians 5. No one said the walk of the Lord was going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. Believe me, the more you do for the Lord, the more the devil comes at you. But he who's in us is greater. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Let's read this together. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. So that's why we try to bring people to the Lord. We try to persuade them because we also know the terror of the Lord. Well, God is a loving God. Yes, He is a great loving God. And how high His love is how high His judgment is too. Amen? I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of the Lord. So we persuade men, don't we? Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Glory to God. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you got to understand something. There are going to be those who are going to call on the name of the Lord on their deathbed. There are going to be those who just got in an accident and said, oh Lord, forgive me. They will be saved and they will be rescued from judgment. Amen? But they will have no reward. That's the one thing about the children who are aborted. They go home, they don't have any rewards, but praise God, they're home, aren't they? But they have eternal life. That's sufficient enough, right? It's better than hell. So, I mean, you can count that as a reward in itself, but there are other rewards. There are servant rewards also. So there are those who are going to be calling out on the name of the Lord and repenting on their deathbed. And it's like I shared before, we minister to the men that are facing death row. They're on death row. They're facing life imprisonment. And I share with the men, there are many who wish they had were here right now because they wish they had the opportunity to repent. There isn't one unbeliever in hell. They're all believers now. Now you got to understand something too, that the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen? So we'll get a little bit more into that. I wouldn't want to leave you astray here. Let's go to Galatians 3. So we see that someone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be rescued from judgment, aren't they? You know how many people walk this earth saying they know the Lord and don't know anything about the Word? Glory to God. Galatians 3. And verse 10. So we see the saved. There are those that are just saved by the skin of their teeth, right? Well, they'll make it home. They call on the name of the Lord, but they won't have any rewards. Maybe. Maybe they'll make it home. And verse 10, Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Whoa. Cursed is everyone who doesn't do them. Let's go on, verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In other words, well, man, I'm obeying the Ten Commandments. Well, there's much more than the Ten Commandments now. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Ooh, that they might receive the Holy Ghost through faith. So we see that that's two parts, isn't it? So you can get saved, right? Then there's part two, which you got to receive the Holy Ghost. And there are many out there who are saved and not born again yet. So we see that Jesus paid the price, and the curse of the law is a representation of the law of sin and death. And go to Romans 8 and I'll show you. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 1. Let's read this together, please. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now condemnation is a representation of judgment. Now listen, this is what he says. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're walking according to the flesh, there's condemnation. But if you're walking according to the Spirit, there is none. People think that they can walk with the Lord and still walk the ways of the world. That's walking in the flesh. And verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's what the curse is, sin and death. Now you got to understand something. The Lord is known as the door, isn't he? So when we come to the Lord, he makes a way for me and you to come into him and break other things off of our life. What he has rescued us is the curse of sin and death. Does everybody get that? He's rescued me and you from this curse of sin and death, so he's made available everything else for me and you as we come to him. But if you don't know the promises and you don't know how to do the certain things that he gives us according to his word, you're not going to be freed, are you? That's why there are many people who come to the Lord and say, oh, I received Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Great, that's it, I'm done. And they're still doing the same things because they're not born again, are they? And they've been freed from the curse of sin and death, haven't they? Because they repented. But they're not freed from many other things like self-imposed curses, strongholds, ancestral curses, and certain things they had to greet. Because God is making a way for that individual to be freed up. See, that's why he's known as the door. So as you come to the Lord, you get in, and he says, I've not come to this world to give you peace. I come to bring you a sword. Well, why would he bring you a sword then, if he didn't want us to use it? That's why it's called the sword of the spirit, not the sword of flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further. So we see that if we walk in the Spirit, there is no judgment. Romans 6, and verse 23. Let's read this together. Oh, let's start at verse 22. I like this. Verse 22, let's read it. But now having been set free from sin, having become a slaves of God, you're slaves of God. You have your fruit to what? Holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now death is a representation of separation. Separation from God. Amen? Separation from God. So the wages of sin is death, and of course, judgment. Those who die in sin or die in wickedness, they will be judged. Okay, let's go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Verse 15. Now remember, it said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But those are who are right in Christ. If you're absent from the body, you're going to be present with the Lord. But if you're not right with God, and you're wicked, you go to hell. There is no in-between. There is no place where you're going to rest and try and make amends. Once you're dead, you're dead. It's over. It's over. You know, when I was brought up, I was always told about purgatory. And it's unscriptural. It's not true. I mean, that's just a wonderful way for the devil to get people to go to hell. They think, well, I'll live the way I am. Now, when I go to purgatory, I'll repent. Once you're gone off of this planet, it's over. And you know what they got the word purgatory from? Is where the fallen angels are chained. Yeah, Pergamus. Or purgatory, I don't know. But anyways, they got that information by the Greek translation where the fallen angels are chained until the end of judgment. They think people go there. But they're wrong because it's unbiblical. It's not there. So when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell, one or the other. Okay, now in the Old Testament, you went into paradise, which was in the lower parts. And then when the Lord died and the veil ripped in the temple, he made access to go to heaven. And all the people that were in paradise in the earth went to heaven. Okay? So they might have thought part of that as being purgatory. But if you were righteous and you died, you went to the paradise in the Old Testament. If you were wicked and died, you went to hell. Okay? Hallelujah. And Psalm 9, 15. Somebody there? Glory to God. For he says to Moses, somebody there? Wait a minute, wrong place. Hallelujah, I'm in Romans 9. For he says to Moses, Psalm 9. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Psalm 9. Verse 15. Let's try this again. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into what? Hell. And all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. So we see here that in final judgment, it's either heaven or hell. One or the other. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Glory, hallelujah. Simple teaching. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Let's read this together. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted a bloodthirsty striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and what?
Live.
For they indeed, for a few days, chasten us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his what? Holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So understand that God uses chastening for me and you to train us. Does everybody get it? If you've ever been chastened by the Lord, you know it. You know when you've offended him. Because you have that relationship with him. You know when you quench the spirit. You know. It's like, oh man, I blew it. Forgive me, Lord. He says, that's right. Now the devil takes it further than that, doesn't he? He starts beating you up big time. I think the Lord allows it sometimes. Hallelujah. So we see here the difference of judgments of what God rescued me and you from judgment as a unbeliever, right? Which was eternal damnation. And then as you become saved, you are rescued from that judgment. And as you and I are a believer and walking with the Lord, there is still judgment. It's a representation of chastening now. Amen? Or what we call the sowing and reaping. So we call it chastening. And the Lord says he loves his people. Those who he loves, he chastens. So you and I are going to be chastened. And there's a difference between chastening and judgment. But it is a part of judgment because he's judging us, so he's chastening us so that correction comes. You know, in other words, you spank the child on the butt or on the hand or whatever, you know, but there isn't an eternal judgment, right? It's a temporary judgment to bring correction. Amen? And we get it from the Lord. Now, there are three major judgments. Three major judgments. Praise God. Three major judgments. Now, hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. I want to clarify this one more time before we go to these three major judgments. 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 6 and 7, just so that you have the scriptures. In verse 6 it says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, while we're here on the earth, we're absent from the Lord. Now you got to understand that this letter is written to believers. In verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well, pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we'd rather be home, wouldn't we? But we know we have a job to do. Hallelujah. Now, go to James 4:4. I want to just clarify about this heaven and hell. James 4:4. And let's read this together, please. James 4:4. It says what? Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Well, if you're an enemy of God, where are you going? Amen. So do you understand that the Bible tells us that we must come out of the world, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will be a father to you, and you be my sons and daughters. Amen. So I just wanted to verify and clarify this about heaven and hell, according to the Word. Now, the first judgment we want to talk about is in, well, why we're here. Oh, no, we were there. In 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let's go there. The first judgment is of the church, the body of Christ, the believer. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 5:10, and it states, let's read this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now we know that all the judgments basically are a representation of the judgment seat of Christ. We are all going to go before Christ at his judgment seat. Because we already clarified that Jesus is the judge, right? Well, this is a representation that we call the judgment seat of Christ is the first judging, and it's a judging of the body of Christ. It's known as the church, and this happens after the rapture of the church. The church will be taken off of the planet of the earth, and the reason why the church will be taken off the planet of the earth is because judgment is also going to come on the earth, and we are not accounted for that judgment. Now go to 1 Thessalonians 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Is everybody all right? This is the first judgment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Is everybody there? And verse 8. For from you... Is everybody there? Well, let's read it together. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So he's delivering me and you from the wrath to come, which represents judgment is coming to the earth. Amen? So he's delivered me and you. Now go to chapter 4. Verse 13. And this is the representation of the rapture. It's the church being taken out of the earth so that judgment can come to the earth. But in the same sequence, the church is going to be judged first. And I'll show you that. I'll show you what's going on. It's chapter 4, verse 13. In verse 13, let's read it together. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sour as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, that those are in heaven, amen, who died in Christ. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who are dead in Christ, the righteous in Christ. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout from the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the church is going to be taken from the earth up into the heaven. The Lord, we will meet in the clouds. The Lord will not touch the earth. He will come toward the earth in the atmosphere. We will be taken up. He will be bringing with him the saints. What's he coming for? To bring their, to get their bodies. Because they will have glorified bodies then. Amen? Remember, they're just spirit soul right now. Now they're coming for their glorified bodies. That's when the graves will pop open and all kinds of stuff is going to happen. And so they will get their glorified bodies and you and I will change in the twinkling of an eye on the way up. Amen? Why? Well, because we're going to be rescued from the wrath that's going to come on the earth, the judgment, but you and I are going to be judged in heaven at the seat of Christ. But we're going to be judged for rewards, not judgment of hell or heaven. We're going to be judged for rewards. That's our it's like an art festival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 3. These are servants' rewards we're going to be judged for. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And verse 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a what? Reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So there are going to be believers who go home who've been building on money, who've been building on rewards of, well, man, I got all these college degrees and all these other things. Instead of the truth of building on bringing glory to the name of the Lord and expanding his kingdom. You know how many believers are out there that don't tithe? It's incredible. So anyways, these believers, their rewards are going to be burned. If they stand, this is where you and I are raptured, right? You and I are going to be raptured, and all the believers are going to be raptured then. We're going to get before the Lord after we have the feast and party up for a while. Eat, you know, have a good time. Then after about, you know, towards the end, you know, we're going to be just, Daddy's going to say, okay, here's all the gifts. He's going to call each one of us up, and everyone's going to judge the rewards. Everybody's going to judge whether they get a reward or not. And if it burns, if it doesn't burn, they get the reward. If it burns, they don't get no rewards. But they're saved, aren't they? Yeah. Amen? Praise be to God. So our judgment is judgment of works, okay? They will be known as judgment of works, and they are judged with reward. Now, during this period of time, the tribulation on the earth is going to be happening, which is 7 years. The wrath of God, the judgment of God has come to the earth because the body of Christ is taken. Now, during this period of time, there are going to be those who did not take the mark of the beast. There are going to be those who died or beheaded for the truth of Christ, and they will, when they die, they will go to heaven. They will get a glorified body during their tribulation, and they will get a reward. They will not be discounted. Okay? Come on, let's go there. Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6. In verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and brethren who would be killed as they were was complete. Now they are under the throne room of God. These are the tribulation saints who died during the tribulation. Okay? Go to next chapter, chapter 7 and verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and elders and four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. That's a nice reward, right? Yeah. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat, because that's what was going on during the tribulation. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. Praise be to God. Our deity is faithful. So these are even rewards given to those in the tribulation. Amen? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. Glory, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9. Is everybody there? In verse 24. Hallelujah. We'll talk a little bit about the crowns, which are a representation of rewards. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So we're running this race, aren't we, for an imperishable crown. This is a representation of the victory crown, the representation of the victory crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we see that this is a representation of a victory crown, an imperishable crown. And that's why we fight the good fight of faith, don't we? There's another crown. It's called the crown of life, Revelation 2. These are some of the rewards. Revelation 2. Glory to God. Revelation 2 and verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Samaria write, These things say to the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the what? Crown of life. So we see that there is a crown of life, those who are faithful till death. Amen? Let's go to James 1:12. I want to show you this. Because even the... James 1:12. Hallelujah. The crown of life. James 1:12. It's still about the crown of life. I just want to show you this other verse. Blessed is the man who endures temptations. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we must endure temptation. Amen. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. And this is known as the crown of righteousness. You know, when we get these crowns, and we'll all be hanging out, man, worshiping the Lord, and we're going to throw these crowns to the feet of the Lord, because they're His crowns. None of us has earned them. Only by His power and His guidance are these crowns available to us. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. And verse 6. 6 through 8. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also all who have loved His appearing. Glory. That's called the crown of righteousness. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. It's called the crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope or joy or a crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. So we get a crown of rejoicing. And 1 Peter chapter 5. Man, we're just buzzing along through here. Thank God for tapes. Oh, okay, cool. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5. Should be a good breeze going through this place tonight. Everybody's turning those pages. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor are being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So there's a crown of glory that we also will receive. Hallelujah. So we see these judgments of rewards will be done in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, okay? While this is being done, there's tribulation on the earth. Now I want to go to the judgment on the earth, okay? Because these are being done at the same time. There's judgment in heaven and there's judgment on earth. The body of Christ is taken off the earth. We are receiving rewards. And the judgment on the earth is happening right now. Okay? Let's go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah 30 and verse 4. Jeremiah 30 and verse 4. Is everybody there? Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard of a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob means Israel. But he shall be saved out of it. Now we know that the Lord is going to rescue Israel. So understand something. This tribulation is not only for the earth, but it's for Israel. Why is it for Israel? Because they rejected the Trinity of God. Okay? So tribulation is coming to them also. It's judgment of God. Okay? Now, we know that the Lord uses the Antichrist for His judgment. He uses the Antichrist for His judgment here on the earth. Okay? Let's go to Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Hallelujah. Daniel 12 and verse 1. And at that time, Michael, who is the archangel, shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Now, Archangel Michael is the prince over Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So we know that it had to be when Israel became a nation again. Amen, which was in 1948. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Now, that's what we just read, didn't we? So this was prophesied by Daniel a long time ago. Okay? Let's go a little further. So Israel is judged with tribulation. Now this leads... Now this, understand that this judgment is the same time that the body of Christ is being rewarded. Okay? And those who are going through the tribulation that die, that received Christ and did not receive the mark, will be rewarded also. All the way to the end. Okay? Now this leads to the judgment of the nations, which is known as the second judgment. Okay, we just covered the complete first judgment. Now we come to the second judgment. And this second judgment is when the Lord returns on the earth with His saints. Okay, now if you go to Jude 14, which is the book right before Revelation. Jude 14. Hallelujah. Three major judgments. The first judgment is the church in heaven. And we're talking about now the judgment that the Lord is going to bring Himself. In other words, He's using the Antichrist during the tribulation to bring judgment to Israel, okay, and parts of the world. But there's going to be His judgment when He comes, which is even greater than the tribulation. Ooh. Hallelujah. Okay. And Jude 14. And we're coming with Him on this one. All right? We're coming with Him on this one. This is when we leave heaven with glorified bodies. Watch this. Jude 14. Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints. Now it doesn't mean 10,000. It says 10,000s. Which means a gazillion or something like that. I don't know. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. So this is me and you. We are coming with the Lord, right, to the earth. Zechariah 14. And we will be judging with Him. Glory. Zechariah 14. Hallelujah. Zechariah 14 and verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And that's where He left from. Which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through the mountain valley, and the mountain valley shall reach Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Now, when the Lord touches the earth, the Mount of Olives, it's going to split. His Jewish people are going to go through and go to Petra. Yeah. While He brings wrath in the Armageddon. Does everybody get it? He's going to actually make a way for His Jewish people. because he's coming to judge the nations. He's judging the nations that come against Israel during the tribulation. Every nation that comes against Israel will be judged. Most of them will be destroyed. Some of them will enter into the millennium. Now this is, well, we'll go there. Matthew 25. This is known as the throne of glory. This is judgment on the earth. So the Lord brings judgment on the earth as he comes and we come with him. Hallelujah. Matthew 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. He brings judgment on the nations. Remember, we return with him. He touches Mount Olive, it splits. His Jewish people split. They boogie on into Petra, which are they're rescued from the wrath of God, right? And he begins to poof, kick butt. In verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Now we know goats are rebellious. Amen? And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he will reward them. He'll explain all kinds of things to them because you fed, you did this, you did that. And then go to verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one, at least of these, you've done to my brethren, you did to me. Now he's going to talk about the other ones. Then he will also say to those on the left side, left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those nations that come against Israel during the tribulation will be cast in the lake of fire. Of course, we know that there'll be individuals who won't, will they? But they'll be dying during the tribulation, won't they? You got to understand that this is now the wicked. This is judgment on the nations now that are the wicked that are left, that are coming against Israel. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, this is something powerful. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6. Is everybody all right? First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, somewhere around there. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Remember, we just talked about that. And if the world be judged by you, you are unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? We will judge angels also. How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? So understand, we will be judging the world and we will be judging what? Angels. Now, go to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 3. Brother Joel prophesied about this too. Joel chapter 3 and verse 1. Glory. Devil's a liar. For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people. Why? Because I told you that those nations that come against Israel will be judged there. And the valley of Jehoshaphat is a representation of Armageddon. My heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land. So we see that the Joel prophesied about the Lord coming and gathering together for judgment. In Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Glory to God. In verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with white, with a robe dipped in, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's me and you. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Remember I told you about judging the nations? And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those of who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, and both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now understand this. I'm going to explain something that's very important. Remember I shared, well, we talked about Feast of the Lord, and one of them was called the Feast of Atonement. This is known as the Feast of Atonement being fulfilled by Jesus here. Now listen. All of the atonements were done by sacrifice of animals. Okay? There was one atonement that wasn't. And that atonement was given to Noah. To Moses. That atonement was given to Moses. And that atonement was circumcision. Circumcision. So they had to cut the foreskins. In fact, the Lord almost was going to kill Moses because he didn't commit. There was covenant. He didn't do his one son. But anyways, so here we see that there was a representation of atonement, man's blood. Okay? Now we see that the atonement for Israel was done right here, man's blood. Okay? Why? Because they rejected the blood of the Lamb. So here the man's blood was being atoned for Israel. Okay. So we see this here judgment which is on the earth. Like I said, some nations will enter the millennium, because our true millennium hasn't begun yet, has it? It doesn't begin yet. Now, this goes on to the third judgment. Okay, now let's go to, while we're in Revelations, hallelujah. Well, let's go a little bit further here. In chapter 20, in verse 1, they saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's when our atonement starts. Our millennium starts. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released a little while. Okay? So we see here that our millennium starts because Satan is bound 1,000 years. We enter into the millennium. All right? Judgment was already done to the nations. Some of them entered into the millennium. Some did not. Okay. In Revelation 20, in verse 7, Now when 1,000 years has expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them together to battle, whose number is at the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be there tormented day and night forever and ever. So we see here that this is when the Lord... This is wild, but this is when the Lord actually, there isn't, when Satan is released for a little while, okay, and he comes against the city in Jerusalem, the Lord actually takes, raptures up for judgment and destroys all the wicked on the earth. This is when the fire comes on the earth and renews the earth again. This is when the fire comes down. Now watch. Go to Daniel 12 for a second. Hallelujah, we're almost done. Daniel 12. I got to show you this. Daniel 12. Squeezing this stuff in here. Man, we need longer tapes. glory. Yeah, right, Pastor. Okay. Daniel 12 and verse 2. Now listen, this is good. And many of those who sleep, you got to understand that Daniel's prophecy was twofold. Now he didn't talk about the rapture because he didn't know about it. So verse 1 was talking about when, about Israel, tribulation time. Now he talks about a rapture, but it's not about the church rapture, it's about the rapture at the end of the 1,000 years. Listen, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine, and those like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now we see here that this is a part of a rapture at the end of the 1,000-year tribulation. I mean, at the end of the 1,000-year millennium, I'm sorry. And they will be judged. Now let's go back to Revelation 20. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 20. Amen. And verse 20, chapter 20 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Good. Then I saw a great white throne, and this is the judgment. Everybody's raptured into heaven. The fire hits the earth and burns the earth, giving it a new earth. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There will be those during the millennium that will die. Some will receive the Lord, some won't. Okay? And they will be judged. That's called the Book of Remembrances. That's what the other books are. But those who receive the Lord will known be written in the Book of Life. So we see after this there is a judgment.